You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, fellow fabulous foxy friends. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 2, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen. And along with me are our very clever and comical crew of co-host contestants.
Nice.
I like alliteration. And here we have...
I'm Colin.
I'm Chris.
Dana.
It took 25 takes for Karen to get through that.
Sorry. I like alliteration. It's nice.
You're setting the bar for yourself.
Yeah. I know. Then I have to make one for every show now.
Right, right.
Yeah. So last week, I asked you guys what was something interesting you guys learned. Today, I'm going to ask you guys, what were you doing when you were 17, and what year was it, Colin?
Oh, so I was 17. It was 1991. Yes.
What was young Colin up to?
What was it like in those days?
Well, so, in this pre-internet era. Well, you asked us about 17, and of course, my first response was just to Google 1991, because that's how lazy I am, even with regards to my own life. And I was looking around, and it reminded me that was the year that Pee-wee Herman, Paul Rubens, was arrested in a Florida adult theater for pleasuring himself in the presence of police officers.
So that's what you were doing when you were 17, Colin?
I was keeping up on Paul Rubens.
Okay.
Well, you have to imagine, to a 17-year-old boy making, it had porno theaters and masturbation and Pee-wee Herman. It was the jokes write themselves.
Kids TV star, yeah.
And that was a big deal. So, but in looking over, I had a pretty good time trying to find the actual name of the movies that he was watching. Because I was thinking it's a trivia show, I got to tie it back. So this is, discover.
Wait, these are the names of the porno movies.
These are the movies that were playing in the theater when Paul Rubens was arrested.
All
yes,
right.
It was a triple bill.
This may come up as a trivia question at some point.
Yeah.
The movies, now I don't know if this was in order, but it was Catalina 5-0 Tiger Shark. Which,
awesome.
Again, it doesn't sound like a porno to me.
No, it sounds like a B-horror movie.
Maybe with Jaws-ish?
Or like a direct-to-DVD
movie. Sounds
like a
car model now.
Right. Yeah, or something you'd see on Sci-Fi Channel, right.
Apparently, no.
Nurse Nancy.
Right. Sounds more like a porn. Yeah.
Easy to guess what that one's like.
Yeah, right? You had me a nurse.
Sure.
Okay. And then Turn Up the Heat was the rounding out the triple bill.
That could be anything.
Turn Up the Heat or Turnip the Heat?
Yeah, it's veggie porn.
It's veg porn.
Turnip: the Heat. No, Turn Up the Heat.
Turn Up the Heat. Yep. So that was a little, just brought me back there to being 17 and remembering all the Pee-wee Herman jokes that I cannot remember now.
When I was 17, I had just gotten, I got a job when I was 16. 17 was that the first year of having hundreds of dollars to spend on things, because I had no actual living expenses whatsoever. So I had bought a Nintendo 64 with my first paycheck in 1996. But now in 1997, the year I was 17, I got a PlayStation. And of course, this was PlayStation had come out a couple years beforehand, but it really hadn't hit its stride until about then. They lowered the price to $150, so it was really kind of an impulse buy. And of course, they brought out the all-important games, Final Fantasy VII, huge, and Castlevania Symphony of the Night was also a big kind of early PlayStation game right at that moment. And so I was realizing, A, that the Nintendo 64 was not really going to have that many great video games on it, unfortunately, because Nintendo was bringing out one game every 3 months for this thing, and that I was going to need a PlayStation if I wanted to continue to play games.
So
I was
a serious gamer.
Yeah, if you wanted to be a serious gamer and keep playing all the cool things that were coming out, it was that's it. That's the tipping point. And of course, it was the same way for a lot of people. So yeah, I was in my glory. If it was a Sunday afternoon in 1997, I was probably playing things on the PlayStation.
Nice. When I was 17, it was 1997 as well, and I actually had a Savage Garden fan site on GeoCities.
Nice.
Sweet.
I was super into it. I was part of their community.
Did it have white on black text? Because that's
it did.
Just, yeah.
I used frames. I was so excited that I figured it. I know. Such bad practice now. At the time, though, it was awesome.
At the time, you had frames in your website.
Yeah.
That's what you did. That's exactly.
It made sense. You could fast load things into the center. So, yeah, their Truly Madly Deeply album played a big role in my life when I was in high school.
And so creating the website consisted of copying from other Savage Garden websites mainly, right?
Downloading the pictures from other sites and posting them on my site. I was
When I was 17, it was 1999, and I was trying to teach myself the dance moves from TLC's No Scrubs video.
Nice.
Along with, I think that's when I also first got dial-up internet.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Tetranet, which was a versus Tetris game over dial-up, and that's what I was doing, 17-year-old Asia. And so the reason I'm asking about our 17-year-old memories
is... Yeah, what's the point of this?
To embarrass ourselves, but also recently in the news, a 17-year-old girl from Cupertino, which is a nearby within the San Francisco Bay Area. So, you know, obviously we weren't really doing a lot of studying. We're goofing around. This girl might have found the way to cure cancer at age 17.
What? No.
I know. What an overachiever. So her name is Angela Zhang, and she just won the grand prize at the Siemens competition in math for like 100K. That's the prize money. And I don't know. 100K seems a little bit... not enough to give
cure
to
for
the
cancer.
Girl.
Yeah, 100K. Here you go.
She's so, only 17. She doesn't have any like living expenses, really. Exactly. Right?
Not yet.
To me, up to her neck in PlayStations, though.
Oh, you're right.
You know, she basically got herself some sort of internship or lab time at the Stanford labs and other.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I don't know what lab is just going to let a 17-year-old.
Yeah, that gives the interns access to the cancer patients and the lasers. Yeah. And just be like, screw around with this and see if anything happens. Yeah. Let me know.
Yeah. We lost both patients, but she did a really good write-up.
Exactly. Her report was, the margins were excellent. Yeah.
The media has been calling it the Swiss Army knife of cancer treatments.
Wow.
Because it can be adapted, right? Wow. So really, she invented a way of delivering treatment or chemicals or medicine.
Wow. Way to go. Yeah. Go, Angela.
I know. Good job, Angela's brain. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Now the popular girls will finally talk to her.
Oh. I'm sure she's a cool person. She's awesome.
Time to start off the show and jump into our trivia segment, which is Pop Quiz Hot Shot. Choose a random trivia card here.
We don't, do we have buzzers?
We do not have buzzers. And a lot of listeners actually wrote in suggesting buzzers. I ordered some. They're on their way.
Buzzers are in the mail.
Yeah. So, but for now, I mean, I'll ask you guys to make
buzzing
noises.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
How was that?
Okay. One might say.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or bzz, ding, ding. Can I be a bell?
That's clearly a bell. That's clearly a bell.
Only buzzers.
Yeah, only buzzers. Sorry.
All right. First question. Blue for geography. And, oh, God, this is so easy.
Do it.
What body of water does the Nile River empty into?
Mediterranean Sea.
Correct, Chris Kohler. Good job. All right, Pink Wedge. What did Kurt Cobain infamously wear on MTV's Headbanger Ball?
Oh, it was a cheerleader outfit, right? Or a dress? Was it?
Correct. Okay. It is a dress.
I knew it was a cross-dressing.
Good thing you remembered to buzz in.
Sorry.
You cede your point if you don't. Yeah.
So the dress.
Anybody else can just get it.
There is an explanation.
Oh, thank God.
Cobain said that he was dressed for the ball because it was the Headbangers ball.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Yellow Wedge. What product did Coca-Cola introduce in 1985? Chris Kohler.
New Coke.
You are correct.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be Diet Coke.
Me too.
No, that was
earlier.
Yeah.
Wait, Diet Coke was earlier than New Coke?
I believe so, yeah. Tab, which was the first, I believe, or if
like
it wasn't
sugar-free
the first,
Coke.
Tab was,
and
yeah, was
diet,
Coke with
And there was
saccharin.
Diet, right?
And then they did, I think they did Diet Coke after that. But they had Tab for a while.
Yeah.
But I was 80% sure on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good job. We're all a bunch of Coke experts.
what do you call us, Coke heads?
One might say.
Love the brown stuff.
Purple Wedge. What pair of artists wrapped the Reichstag in fireproof plastic fabric in 1995? I don't even know what
it's a pair of artists.
So it's it's Christo. It's Christo who's the one who gets all of the press, and his partner
Banksy.
I'm totally blanking on his partner's name.
What is this? Wraps the.
They do like the big environmental concept art. So you know he did the umbrellas. He did the ringed islands. He did the wrap the Reichstag. He's done running fence. He does these large scale environmental pieces.
I like how you're trailing. I am staring at you like I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
No, I know it's like, one of them is Christo. One of them's got to be Christo, and I can't remember his partner's name.
It's Christo and Jean Claude.
Yes, Jean I was going to say Jean something. Okay. All right.
It took.
Oh, actually, I did. I watched a documentary about art collectors, and they were on there. Yeah. Darn.
Yeah.
Okay. Green Wedge Science. What is the world's fastest growing woody plant?
Bamboo. Bamboo.
What is bamboo?
Correct. Oh. It is bamboo. Some species can grow up to a foot a day.
That's amazing.
I actually want to tie into something I watched recently. On one episode of Mythbusters, one of the myths that they wanted to debunk was apparently, and you know, I'm Chinese, I've never heard of this, but there's some old Chinese torture method where they would tie people to the ground at a bamboo pasture or wherever it grows bamboo. And tie them down so that bamboos can grow through.
Would go
them.
Up their butthole?
Just through them.
Through
just,
all of them.
Just through all of them.
Their organs. Yeah.
And what did Mythbusters say?
That it is possible.
Plausible. It was creepy. I saw that one too.
Yeah, they had a fake human person and bamboo just boop. Grew right through them.
That's not good.
And it's not a fast. No. You know, pain delivery method. It's a slow growing one.
Uh-huh. It's when you really, really want to torture someone.
It's for the special ones in your heart. All right. And last wedge question, Orange. The U.S. Senate officially named September 2007 a National Heritage Month in honor of what liquor?
Bourbon.
I would guess that's whiskey.
Yeah,
that sounds
bourbon.
Did it say bourbon?
It's bourbon.
Because it's American. Yeah.
It's American.
Yeah.
Go America.
Go America.
Yeah. Woo. Good job.
Yeah.
Bourbon.
And here I also have our Kickstarter backer questions, pop quiz questions. And this one is from Matthew Yip from British Columbia, Canada. His question is, where was the 1988 Summer Olympics held?
88 summer. Oh, that was in.
You have to buzz in.
that was Seoul, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
Seoul, South Korea. And nice. Matthew says that this question means a lot to him because this was the tie-breaking tournament winning question that he answered on his team for their junior high trivia tournament.
Nice.
Awesome. Go Matthew.
Having lost in the final game the year before, this was very sweet revenge for Matthew and his team.
I know all about it.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I just remember the mascot, and I remember it was a really cute tiger. And Matthew, tying back to our Coke head or our Coca-Cola expertise, he says that he will order a non-cola drink if the establishment doesn't serve Coca-Cola and Pepsi will not do. I like you, Matthew, because I'm the same way. I'm Coca-Cola all the way.
You don't feel like it's a slap in the face to the server? Because like I feel like they're offering
because they're,
it.
Yeah, because like, they always they have, because they have well, to say, Pepsi, if you say Coke, yeah. and it, well, is Pepsi okay? Okay?
They say
no.
It, so, like, you know what? Forget it.
I am sorry. That is not okay.
I'll just have water, okay?
Yeah.
Don't insult me. We feel like we need to make a correction to our last episode.
In a new segment.
In a new segment that Dana's going to call.
Actually, excuse me, I have a few quibbles.
I believe you'll find to be in error.
Oh, that's good. That
good. Yeah.
So a lot of people wrote in and, not to be nitpicks, but you know, to tell us.
No, nitpick.
That's our job.
Absolutely.
That's part of the fun of being a nerd is correcting people.
Pick all the nits and send us the nits.
So last episode, we asked what Gaff gave to Deckard, what three origami pieces that he gave to Deckard in the movie Blade Runner. And the answers were a chicken, a dude with a boner. And a unicorn. And actually, the dude with a boner is not made out of origami.
That's right. It's a matchstick. It's a matchstick that, Gaff sort of just splits some arms and legs and boner off of and leaves and leaves for Deckard. So it is. It's chicken and the unicorn are proper origami made out of paper. But the matchstick man is a stick.
I feel like we should have anticipated this because it would have been very difficult to fold a dude with a boner in, like an origami out of
put
a piece
some
of paper.
Scotch tape on it.
Yeah, well, it is the future. They've
that's
had more time to work on
that's
it.
That's not
it's
origami,
like,
though.
It's three legs and one is like, I feel like you can figure it out. If you
open to interpretation.
Matchsticks, it makes a lot more sense.
Yes, but someone let us know on the website. So thank you.
Thank you. Actually. All right. So good job, everybody's brains. Let's get into our topic of the week, something that we're all kind of obsessed with. And it's all about the dark, the freaky, the salacious, and the twisted facts and origins of classic fairy tales.
Fairy tale, my favorite fairy tale. Is the one I live with wonderful you.
All, you know, we all grew up with fairy tales from children's book, from TV, from shows, and especially Disney movies. But in reality, the original version and variants of these classic stories usually aren't so happy or filled with talking animals or song and dance. They don't even have happy endings most of the time.
Well, they're happy in the sense that, you know, when you're a child and you're living in the 1600s, your life is not that great. And basically these stories are like, look, I mean, okay, fine, your life sucks, but aren't you glad that you don't have it this bad?
I think also, you know, a lot of the original stories weren't necessarily meant for children. I mean, we think of them as, you know, fairy tales and children's tales today, but it was for everybody and just happened to sort of fall down to being told to children.
Right.
We have three big camps in terms of fairy tales and their authors, right? We have Hans Christian Andersen and we have the Brothers Grimm.
Yep.
And we also have
Charles Perrault.
Whose tales are also the Mother Goose tales. It's essentially what
he wrote tales of Mother Goose.
Right.
So Hans Christian Andersen is a little bit dear to my heart because I lived in Denmark and he's Danish. He's one of the celebrated sort of national treasure. He also spent a lot of time meeting other authors as well, including Charles Dickens, right?
Yeah, this is my favorite story. It kind of illustrates maybe how weird Hans Christian Andersen is and He stayed with Charles Dickens for 5 weeks once, and I think that was longer than Charles Dickens thought he was going to stay at his house. Because after he left, he put a plaque in the room that Hans Christian Andersen was in that said, Hans Andersen slept in this room for 5 weeks, which seemed to the family ages. And I think he stopped talking to Hans Christian Andersen after that.
Although, that would have been an awesome sitcom.
I would have loved to see that sitcom. Yeah.
That old Hans.
Like Full House, basically.
Yeah. Hans and Chuck.
Uncle Hans.
Hans Christian Andersen also had a really odd death, I believe.
I read this when we were talking about him earlier. And I think I had heard this before, that he died by falling out of bed. And so
he was 70 or whatever.
To be fair, true, he was 70.
He didn't I've fallen and I can't get up. Kind of
life alert.
You didn't have life alert bracelet. Oh.
Is falling out of bed one of the things that you can check off on life alert? I'm allergic
I think
to falling
you push
out of
the
bed.
Button and they come for you. Oh, okay. Like whatever.
Not the medic alert. Sorry,
the
right.
Button.
Yes,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he needed that.
But no, he died from injuries. Injuries sustained from falling out of bed.
Yeah. Aww. Let's not laugh. What, an old man falls out? Okay, it's pretty funny.
And we also have the Brothers Grimm, who are... who I don't know if they actually wrote original material or did they just go ahead and collect a whole bunch of folk tales and repackage them.
That's essentially, yeah. I mean, that's essentially what it seems like they really did. It was a lot about collecting, and not that they presented that they weren't collecting, but they collected a lot of folk tales from Germany, and you know, I think they it was believed that a lot of them were more from the countryside than they really were. They were from more middle class people than I think. But the point is, yeah, they were folk tales that they kind of collected and repackaged and took out a lot of the original violence and sex and mayhem and sanitized them.
And
a
put in
bit.
More violence and sex and mayhem. I mean, they really did put in a lot. They left a lot in.
That's
right?
True. That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Let's talk about what we think the Disney, let's say just the Disney ending versus what really happened in some of these original or other variants of the story.
Right. Because these come from the oral tradition, there are so many different variants of these stories that, you know, the things we're going to talk about here may have happened in a version that you're reading, or they may not have. It's covering our ass.
We know these have common roots, but I think.
So one of the shocking ones for me is definitely Snow White in the widespread, the well-known Disney version of Snow White. Snow White ate the poison apple, and the dwarves made her, fashioned her a glass coffin. She's lying in the coffin. Prince walks by, whoa, cool, hot girl in a glass coffin, decides to give her a kiss, and she wakes up, and they live happily ever after. In the real version, or in the original version, the prince does find her, and she's still dead. He actually takes her dead body with him on his horse, and it was the bumpy ride of the horse that finally wakes her up from the poison apple. Yeah. And she wakes up, and she's like, hey... you're a prince, I'm a princess, let's get together. And
he's like, oh, you're not.
Wait damn. A minute.
You know, to be fair, he might have kissed her when she was in the coffin too.
Oh yeah.
Right, yeah.
I just didn't wake her up. Yeah, he might have done
what,
other
what was he planning on doing is really, I think, the larger question here.
Yeah, dude.
Where were we going? Nowhere.
Oh, I'm rescuing you.
Obviously, the prince is the prince, his intentions are definitely questionable. And actually, in the many of the old versions of Snow White, the queen was punished at the end, and she was subject to wear these hot iron shoes and dance in the courtroom until she died.
Mm.
Maybe this is a little bit TMI, but the first porn movie I've ever accidentally watched when I was a kid because I was channel flipping, was a porn version of Snow White.
How long did it take you to realize that it was, this isn't...
Immediately.
At first I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I realized she was like milking a cow and her blouse just fell off. And I was like, whoa. Hold on
there. I'm going to watch this show.
So like we said, some of these stories come in many variations. Yeah, so I mean, you know, and then talking about Hans Christian Andersen, Brothers Grimm, you know, I think probably the other sort of the third big pillar is Charles Perrault, and who did the Mother Goose writing. He gets a lot of credit, I think, for Cinderella, really popularizing what we know as sort of the main Cinderella story that's turned into the Snow White. And you know, his version is not that far from the Disney version. It's Cinderella, you know, the kindly father has some stepsisters from a new marriage. They treat her like crap, make her do all the housework, and essentially she ends up going to the ball, and the prince has the slipper, tries to fit it on at the end. Doesn't fit the stepsisters. Does fit Cinderella, rides off into the sunset.
Yay!
Happy ending. You know, the Disney definitely added the mice and a lot of the stuff with the elaborate fairy godmother, but a lot of the other stuff really, you know, sort of goes back to Perrault. But
he really is the guy who added in a lot of the sort of fancy stuff, like, you know, the fairy godmothers and the turns into a pumpkin and all that kind of like elaborate kind of stuff. Yeah.
And really making it more sanitized and appropriate. But the Grimms, you know, their version, which sort of Perrault
borrowed
is a generous way of putting it.
He remixed it. My understanding is that he was really a contemporary of the Grimms.
I think it's more fair to say that they both had common sources. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in their collection, they had Aschenputtel, the Ash Girl, which is
I love that name.
Cinderella Ashen Poodle. Yeah, but yeah. Essentially the same story. But
I just think of a really dirty poodle.
I do too.
Ashen poodle.
Dog.
Or yeah. Gray poodle. Yeah. Gray poodle.
But his version is the one where, in trying to fit the slipper onto the feet, the stepsisters are hacking off their heels and cutting off toes to get them to fit in the slipper. And it's only when the prince notices, wait, there's a lot of blood here. Something doesn't seem right.
The things you do for beauty. Like those sometimes are shoes.
Yeah. And that's something that, definitely didn't make it into the Disney-fied version, or didn't even make it into Perrault's version.
That reminds me of, do you ever watch America's Next Top Model?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yes. So, like, Tyra would yell at the girls when they're wearing shoes that were too small for them or too big or too tall. And she's like, you just have to model through it.
Yeah.
Oh, because, like, the models don't get to choose what size they're down the runway.
Yeah, you wear whatever shoes they have.
Gotta work it.
Yeah.
Hack off that heel.
Stay yeah. Keep smizing.
Smize through the pain.
And then, you know, Karen, as you pointed out when we were talking about this, at the end of the more traditional earlier versions, at the end of the story, the little birds pluck out the evil stepsister's eyes.
Oh.
At the wedding.
Yes.
As a special wedding present for the bride. They
just
ruin her wedding or make her wedding awesome, depending on your
They already lost parts of their feet, and now their eyeballs got plucked out.
They get comeuppance in many different ways, Well, we really like the movie Tangled, so obviously I did, you know, a little bit of research into the story Rapunzel to see how that was different than the Disney movie. And actually, the Disney movie does take a lot of elements from the Brothers Grimm version of Rapunzel. But let me ask you guys this. Do you know what Rapunzel is?
Yes.
Hair.
Some kind of vegetable.
No.
A plant.
It is. Very good, Dana. Rapunzel
Wait, like is a real?
It is a real plant. It is edible. And that is from whence the title of the story came. This is actually something that is sort of echoed in the Sondheim musical Into the Woods, which uses a lot of the kind of original elements of the Grimm fairy tales that it kind of incorporates into its own story. But originally, the Rapunzel story began in the Disney movie. It is the king and the queen, and there is a plant here too. But the king and the queen is giving birth, but she's going to die in childbirth, and the only thing that can help her is this magical plant. But the Enchantress, who has been also using this magical plant, gets all ticked off and kidnaps the baby, because the baby now has the power of the plant. This is the Disney version. Karen is looking at me like, this is amazing. I was like, no, this is the Disney movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So and then she locks her away, and she has to keep her locked away because she has the magical power that the Enchantress needs. Eventually, girl meets a prince scales the tower, Rapunzel with the hair and whatever, and then you know they fall in love, they get married, the witch goes away, and the prince in the Disney movie gets stabbed at the end, but it turns out that Rapunzel's tears cure his stabbitude.
Right.
Okay. They cure it, yes.
Nothing's ever permanent to the good guys. Nothing ever permanently affects the good guys in the Disney movies.
In the Grimm Brothers version, there's a husband and wife who live near this enchantress, and the wife is pregnant, and she is experiencing pregnancy cravings. And instead
like
of
Snickers.
Modern day women
pickles
who would
and
crave,
ice cream.
Yeah, exactly, pickles and ice cream and a McChicken. I don't know.
Funyuns.
She decides that she wants the Rapunzel plants, and of course, people ate the leaves off of this plant. They were sort of like spinach, and then they ate the roots, which were like radishes. So she has a craving for the Rapunzel plant. Who can figure that out? And so the only Rapunzel plants are in the garden of this witch, this enchantress. Of course, you know, when you've got a pregnant wife and she is yelling at you for certain things, it doesn't matter if it's 4 in the
morning.
You're
going to get it.
You are going to Walgreens and you're getting the pint of Chunky Monkey. It's happening. The enchantress sees him on her security camera and finds out and goes over and says, you know what, I could, you know, kill you where you stand, or you can give me your unborn baby. And they're like, that's cool.
Seems fair.
And,
seems fair.
And so that is how the witch gets the baby in the Grimm Brothers version.
Right.
The interesting thing in the middle of the story is that, yes, the prince happens upon the tower, and the enchantress finds out about Rapunzel's amorous trysts with the prince, is that Rapunzel says innocently one day, huh, you know, my dress is getting a little tighter around my stomach area.
Huh.
I wonder why that is, because she has no idea. Well, you know what? Yeah.
So they were screwing
around.
Yeah.
Teen pregnancy, you know? Yeah, what?
Wow.
It's teen mom.
What are they going to do? Yeah. They're in a tower. It's like the 1600s.
True, true.
Like,
yeah. Like, there's nothing else to do. Right, there's no TV.
I'm playing Nintendo up there. And so the prince either, depending on the version, falls or gets pushed out of the tower and lands in the thorns underneath the tower. And in another common theme is blinded.
Wait, this dude falls out from a super high tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into lands in thorns.
Bed of thorns and doesn't break an arm or a leg, but no. Somehow strategically two thorns yeah. went into yeah. his eyeballs
he
and he got
on his
yeah.
eyes.
Yeah,
crazy. He landed on his eyeballs.
He took it. He took it in.
That's
the
part
eyes.
Of the story yeah. that you're having problems with. Yeah.
That's all this other stuff.
Yeah, that he could
totally
climb her hair.
The physics of climbing someone's hair. That it totally works. Doesn't just pull
trading
their scalp
your baby
off.
For some lettuce.
Yeah.
So and then what happens?
Spinach, to be fair, okay. plus radishes, all right,
so
which
more
are good if you saute them all
together. Looks like two in one.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is Rapunzel cries into his face somehow, and her tears. Her tears again restore his
her
blindness.
Her tears go out
wow.
as well.
Yeah.
Projectile yep. tears.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey, Matt. Did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope, never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
I'm going to talk about Sleeping Beauty, which is probably the most effed up real versus Disney ending. So in the Disney ending, she falls asleep. There was a curse. You know, handsome prince comes by. Gives her a kiss. Well, actually, in Disney movie, it was Prince Philip was his name. Mm. And he actually fought Maleficent, who was the evil witch who cursed everybody. And she turns into a dragon and he kills her. And they live happily ever after. In the real ending, it was actually a prophecy that kept Sleeping Beauty sleeping. Somehow, I guess a king came by and saw that she was very beautiful and rapes her.
Oh, God.
And several times. And we know this because she actually gives birth to
dear.
2 children, but she's
still asleep. That
this is just
fair
in a coma.
Like
that's another way to describe it. Maybe.
Well, it's magical, enchanted,
and sure, this is just in the woods.
Right.
Or where is she? She's in the castle.
She's in the castle.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And it was something.
I think a lot of women wish they could just sleep through giving birth.
So really, it's a good thing.
It's fine.
And her kids actually somehow remove whatever magical was keeping her asleep. And she wakes up and, yep, 2 kids, babe's daddy. Cool, let's all get married and live here.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Wait, they got married in this
time?
Yeah.
To the king?
To the king.
Okay.
I didn't think she would be his type when she was awake.
There are a lot of wandering kings and princes.
Yeah, it seems like from all these stories, that's all that you do as a king or prince, is just wander the land, just looking for women in various states of distress.
Consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. Number one job requirement, roaming.
So let's take a quick break for our little mnemonic and tips and tricks section. And today we're going to learn about how to calculate pi to, actually not how to calculate pi.
How to remember.
Pi. Sorry, how to remember. Oh. There's it's yeah. a really hard way to calculate pi.
Yeah.
How to remember pi.
draw a circle.
And then draw a square.
Think really hard about radius. It.
So this is to remember pi up to 7 digits of yeah. pi. And actually, it's pretty easy.
I like this.
This is the mnemonic. How I wish I could calculate pi. That's it.
That's it. It's how actually, I wish well, I could calculate pi.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, it's a rhyme. How I wish I could calculate pi.
Oh. Oh.
And wait, how are you calculate? You're counting.
So it's the number of letters
in
is
each word.
The digit. So how I wish I could calculate pi.
I'm going to do it without looking at it.
3, 1, 4, 1, 5, 9, 2.
I so, like that, though.
Yeah. So very, very quick
and
easy.
How does the rhyme go again?
How I wish I could calculate pi.
Yeah, get the meter right. Yeah.
How I wish I could calculate pi.
Very
cute. All right. Let's jump back into our fairy tales talk, and let's sensationalize a little bit. Let's do our top gross or freaky or crazy or gruesome moments in fairy tales.
That's right. It's a top four.
Top four. Colin, go.
All right. Well, so I love the older versions, the little, the less cleaned up versions. I would say some of the original versions of what we call Goldilocks and Three Bears now would be my favorite, probably the more gruesome ending. So, you know, so if you're, it's probably pretty realistic. If you were a family of bears that came home and there was a little girl who was eating your crap and messing with your, you would probably kill her and eat her, which is what they did in the original. It's in the earlier versions. They mm-hmm. came home and they destroy her and feast on her entrails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they like, ate man, her.
Oh, they eat her. It's like kill her and eat her. They're bears.
Yeah. Man, I'm sick of eating porridge.
Yeah, I thought they were like vegetarian bears. Or like vegan bears. They have a little house. They're like civilized.
It's right. Soylent Green porridge. The porridge is made of people, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that's what you get.
She ruined their whole house.
All right, Dana, what about you? What's your top gruesome moment?
So I remember reading this story when I was a little kid. It's called The Goose Girl. And I remember the ending the most, more than the story itself. It was something like this princess was traveling with her servant, and the servant is a jerk and forces them to switch places, and they make it to the kingdom, and the servant pretends to be the princess, and the princess has to be the servant. Basically, the royals see through this eventually and realize that the princess is really a princess. So they ask the servant, what would you do if somebody really betrayed the royal family? What would you do? And she said, oh, I think you should strip that person naked and you
oh,
should
of course.
Right, line a barrel with nails and then drag them through town in that barrel until they die. I was like, wow. And so that's what they did to her.
Wow.
The end.
And they all lived happily
ever after.
It took a while to get the blood out of the street.
What about you, Chris?
Me. The thing that I came across in my research was in Snow White. So the queen sends the huntsman out with Snow White, her stepdaughter, and says, you know, take her out and kill her, you know, so I will be the prettiest person in all of the kingdom, whatever. And as proof that you have accomplished your mission, in the Disney version, she actually tells him to do this, right? And says, just bring back her
like
heart.
Like a heart.
Yeah, a heart. Mm-hmm, right. So in the original version, for some odd reason, she says, bring back the lungs and her liver.
Double proof.
Double proof, exactly. Yikes. And so the huntsman takes her out, has a change of heart, and Snow White is 7 at this point. Not that it really matters, you know, it's not murdering a child versus murdering a teenager, but still. And the huntsman has a change of heart, lets her go, goes and kills a boar, and brings back the lungs and the liver of the boar and gives them to the queen.
Okay.
And the queen at this point cooks them and eats them.
What?
So the queen is not committing.
That was her plan?
I don't know if it was her plan or if she just sort of improvised that. She was just like, didn't have dinner,
times
so I'll
tough.
Have these entrails. But yeah, so the queen eats them. And it's like she didn't commit cannibalism, but she totally thought she was
going to. She totally was.
Like, she had the intent. She had the intent
powers
of cannibalism.
Or something.
She's fierce.
I don't know.
Sense.
What? Oh, okay.
Well, no, no,
it does make sense just in the sense of like...
If I eat it, more than just I'll become
beautiful. Well, also, I always thought it was kind of weird that like that's the proof you need to bring back. I mean, I know it was like you couldn't bring back a photo, but it was just... It seemed strange to
me. That would be more convincing.
It seemed strange to me that it was this bring back her heart. Not that it makes it okay, but if she was going to eat it, at least...
It's like, what proof does she have? She can't like, oh, that's what her heart looks like. Oh,
yeah.
Good job,
kid. Know what her heart looks like.
If she brought back like a giant liver, you're like, no, this is not from a
little girl. Would not have gone in there. Yeah. And the huntsman would be like, oh, what? So you're like a doctor now?
I know. Why not just on the blood of her
Why
enemy.
Not just bring back her head? Isn't that the
best?
Well,
evidence.
Yeah.
You don't evidence. Want, no, you don't want, no, I mean, that would be good evidence, but like then what is she going to do with the head? She can't eat the head.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's just
well,
absurd.
We don't know.
That's
just
not going to go down.
Yeah, the heart and lungs is one thing.
You ever had someone's head with honey mustard sauce? Yeah. It's chewy.
Oh, the ear, the cartilage. Yeah.
That seems like it would be too... It would, because she's still married to this girl's father.
Oh,
so
true.
Then,
I do also feel bad for the huntsman in these stories of this cannot be what he signed up for as part of his day to day work around the castle.
No. There's so many stories where the huntsman or that archetype has to carry these tasks to kill. You know, babies and stuff all the time.
I guess just because they're the ones with the axe, maybe is the only reason.
They kill
so
things
weird.
For a living.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Right.
Oh man, okay. So my top gruesome fairy tale ending is probably that of Hansel and Gretel, you know, the witch luring children in her candy house. And we know that in the widespread version, she was going to cook the children oven and eat them.
Right.
She was going to cook them alive.
Well, she was going to but she was going to like push them in the oven and in turn she got pushed in the oven and she died. So in a old version of Hansel and Gretel called The Lost Children, where it's actually not a witch, it's a devil, the plan to kill the children was a little bit more elaborate. There is a sawhorse outside of the house, and the plan was to slit the throats of the children.
Yikes.
And spread them out on the sawhorse and just let them bleed to death.
Wow.
Bleed out for a while. I don't know for what. Maybe for children jerky. I don't know. I don't know what.
It purifies the meat. Yeah. The blood
tree. Guess you have to do that when you have to do some butchering. But
I knew it was gonna be bad when you said she has a sawhorse. I was like, oh god, this is not gonna be.
This is the saw.
So it's pretty
painless
bad.
Euthanasia. Well, this has been a depressing.
It is. It's a little bit depressing. But obviously there is a lot of awesome fairy tale references in pop culture. And Dana, I know you've prepared a little segment for us.
Yeah, I have a couple trivia questions for you guys. So buzz in with your...
Get your buzzer ready.
Get your buzzers ready.
Well, let me test mine.
What 2005 Terry Gilliam movie stars Matt Damon and Heath Ledger as fairy tale?
Woof, woof, woof. Can I buzzer?
Sure.
Woof, okay. Woof. Brothers Grimm.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. I love Terry Gilliam movies. It was okay.
Yeah, I wanted to like it.
I like Matt Damon.
Okay, what 1998 movie starred Drew Barrymore? Okay, I'll finish it. You can get your turn. And the retelling of the Cinderella story.
Ever After.
It's
a good movie.
So Catherine Hardwicke, who also directed the movie Twilight, directed this 2011 remake of what classic folktale? Is that a
fake buzz?
Yeah, I was like, there was a 2011 remake of a classic fairy tale.
Fairy folk tale.
Oh, is it Red Riding Hood?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
With Amanda
Seyfried. Seyfried.
Seaweed.
Which Olsen twin stars as a witch who causes a popular high school student?
Okay.
50-50 chance.
Beastly. So who buzzed first?
Karen did.
Woof, woof.
Okay.
I'm going to say one of them. I don't know which one. Okay, Mary-Kate.
It's Mary-Kate.
Yeah!
I wonder how Ashley felt about that.
You know what? She just announced that she's not acting anymore.
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't they have...
Oh, well, she has so many other skills.
They have like a clothing line or something, right? That's their thing.
They have
now.
Several clothing lines. Mm-hmm. So I think they're being taken care of for a long time.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
They're billionaires, so I think they're fine.
Yeah. I think Uncle Joey's going to be asking them for money. Yeah.
I think he already...
Hey, Michelle. Can I have $5?
Okay, last question. Julia Roberts plays the evil queen in the upcoming, or in the movie that just was released, Mirror Mirror, an adaptation of the Snow White story. She plays a fairy in what 1991 movie adaptation of
That is Hook.
Yeah,
she played Tinkerbell. Right, that's right, that's right.
Rufio.
You are all over these. Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you, Dana.
What actress played a dude in that movie? What actress played a man in that movie?
Oh.
Well, what? Wait, hold on. What actress?
Well-known actress.
Glenn Close.
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know where that came from.
She played she played one of the pirates in Hook.
What?
The pirate that, that Hook puts in the box. Like, you have to go in the box.
Is Glenn
Close? Is Glenn Close.
I love it.
She wasn't even on the billing.
No. No, it was totally secret and stuff.
That, I love that.
That
I don't know if it was totally secret, but like, yeah. She wasn't on the poster. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, check out that scene again. It's Glenn Close.
I'm totally gonna.
There you go. Trivia. I have a segment as well that I would like to share with you all.
Yeah.
It's a little segment called First in Line.
First in Line.
In First in Line, which if, you know, if our readers like it, will become a recurring segment. I don't know. So in First in Line, we're going to give you some first lines of could be movies, could be books, could be song titles.
All right.
And you have to identify the movie, book, song title from the first line.
All right.
Okay.
There are no prizes.
I'm glad you specified that at the beginning. Here we go. I won't compete very
hard.
Are we buzzing?
I'm going to start with easy and even thematic and move to hard.
All
okay.
Right.
Okay. All starting right. with easy just to get you guys. Yes, you do have to buzz. Okay.
All right.
Here we go. All children except one grow up.
Oh.
Meow, 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 meow.
Karen?
Is it Peter Pan?
It is Peter Pan.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes. Okay. I told you I'm starting with
Yeah, that was good. Right, that was good.
Okay.
I'm going to randomize my buzzer.
I doubted myself. I'm like, oh, it can't be Peter. We were just talking about it.
Okay. A mile above Oz, the witch balanced on the wind's forward edge as if she were a green fleck. Was that a buzz? Okay.
Yeah. The Wizard of Oz.
Wrong.
No.
Buzz.
Colin.
Is it Return to Oz?
Wrong. Karen, you have a shot at this. You want me to read the whole thing?
Yes, please.
Okay. A mile above Oz, the witch balanced on the wind's forward edge as if she were a green fleck of the land itself, flung up and sent wheeling away by the turbulent air.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Gregory Maguire's Wicked.
Maguire's Wicked. The last book, the recently released last book in the series, ends with a very similar line. Mm. Okay, here we go.
That was a good trick question.
Thank you. The boy with fair hair lowered himself down the last few feet of rock and began to pick his way towards the lagoon.
Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies.
That's good.
Nice. Something told me it was over when I saw you and her talking. Something deep down in my soul said, "Cry, girl," when I saw you and that girl walking.
That's got to be a song.
Okay, it's not Shakespeare. It's not Dickens. It's probably a song.
It's got to be a song. The walking, talking.
I'll throw out some hints. It is a recently deceased singer who is not Amy Winehouse.
Oh, goddamn.
I unbuzz. No.
We're not looking for artists.
I know, yeah.
Just a song.
Can you do it?
It may be too difficult. Something told me it was over when I saw you and her talking. Something deep down in my soul said, "Cry, girl," when I saw you and that girl walking.
Is it Whitney Houston?
It is not. Wow,
guess,
a lot of singers
guess,
have died recently. I'll give you the answer. It is Etta James. I'd rather go blind. Very famous.
Another person go blind.
Blindness.
We're getting tougher and tougher. I believe in America. America has made my
That's the Godfather.
Yes,
Godfather.
Oh, you jumped right on that. Maybe that should have been one of the easier ones. And finally, river run past eaves and atoms from swerve of shore to bend of bay brings us by a commodious vicus of recirculation back to Howth Castle and environs.
Whoa, that was a mouthful.
Hmm.
note that it seems to just sort of start in the middle of the sentence.
Yeah.
In a stream of consciousness.
James Joyce.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ulysses.
No.
Is it a portrait of the artist?
You are not correct yet. Someone's going to get it in a second, though.
Portrait of the artist as young man.
It's not portrait of the artist as young man. It's not Ulysses. It is his work that is absolutely the most stream of consciousness impenetrable work. It is Finnegan's Wake.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that was cool. Correctly positioned by Hard. Good job, everyone's brains on first in line. I hope you listeners also enjoyed that as well.
Yes, the Joyce fans out there are just irate at us right now.
Yeah. You dumbasses.
That's awesome.
All right. Good. Great.
Nice. Well, there we go.
Right in.
Awesome. Thank everybody for joining me today. And of course, thank you, listener, for listening to this episode. You can find us on iTunes now. Please give us a rating or give us feedback, especially about what type of segments you like or what you'd like to see. Definitely, we'd love your input. So thanks, everybody, and peace out.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.